You're listening to Seedlings at Bit by Bit, February 2nd, 2006. I'm Bob Sprankle, and this is a new show called Seedlings, hosted at Bit by Bit. I'm here with Cheryl Oakes and Alice Barr. Hello.
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 And where are you guys coming from?
I'm coming from the mountains, Carabasset Valley, while I'm on sabbatical until the middle of March. And Alice?
I'm home in my office in Kennebunkport, Maine.
And I am home in South Berwick, Maine, so we've got Maine pretty covered here.
Yes.
And we are the Seedlings, and our group will get larger. And who would like to explain what the Seedlings are?
Alice.
All right. I will. Seedlings are actually people who are out training, or were training, I guess, during the MLTI project. Primarily, they're teachers working in schools who offered professional development using technology in the classroom. SEED, the official version of SEED, ended in June. And so the people, the trainers who are part of SEED, are really interested in keeping professional development going through Maine.
And SEED stood for Spreading Educator to Educator Development.
That's
Bob,
correct.
That's the first time I've heard you say that. You always
really?
Say Cheryl will tell you what that means.
And,
but I think one thing, when we ended in June, with the official SEED ended in June, we were inspired by Angus King and his talk about The World is Flat by Thomas Friedman. And he really challenged all of us in the group to read the book and continue spreading the message and continue to work for the MLTI project, which is why we have Seedlings.
And our little group down in York County didn't want to disband anyway, so we still get
right.
together. And this new idea is that we'll get together at least once a month and put out the Seedling show. It'll be here at Bit by Bit for the time being, and talking about technology in the 21st century and what's happening in people's classrooms. In fact, why don't we start there? Because that's how we usually start all of our SEED meetings. Everybody would go around and talk about things they're excited about. So who would like to start that?
Well, I will start because my favorite thing for the past 3 weeks now, I just keep going back to it, is www.bubbleshare.com. And it's a free browser-based service where you upload photos, and as part of the service, you can then turn those photos into a slideshow and put a 30-second audio caption describing each photo. And I've had a blast with it, and I've used it to send messages back to my students while I'm on sabbatical, and I think the way that classroom teachers could use it in their with their students is just going to be phenomenal.
Have you seen that yet, Alice?
I have seen what Cheryl did. She
yeah.
sent me some samples. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very
yeah.
cool. And Cheryl, is it really easy to just put right into your webpage?
It's incredibly easy. Once you add the captions and then you add the audio caption, there's another button that says share on your webpage, and you go in and copy the markup, the HTML markup, and just paste it into your blog.
And is there a main page, too, where, like, all your bubbles would live, or can you only access it from what people have posted on the page?
The bubbleshare.com, if you maintain one email address and write to them, they will tell you where all of your links are because it's all browser-based and it's all free. So I just made a folder in my email account And when I get notified that my photos have been uploaded and they live at a certain address, I just save all of those in that one folder because it's not in one page in that account. It's multiple pages.
Right, okay. Good. Alice, what's new with you?
Well, I work at Yarmouth High School in Yarmouth, Maine, and I yesterday was able to work with some of my staff. We do a three-credit professional development course, and yesterday I shared with them Web 2.0 and emerging technologies, and I talked a little bit about how learning with students is changing. I used an article from markprensky.com called Digital Immigrants, Digital Natives, which I highly recommend that people get a chance to read. It's a really important article about how our students are changing as learners. And I use that as a jumping off point to talk about things like how the web has changed. For example, Cheryl's been talking about bubble share. And an example of Web 2.0 would be something like in the past, OPhoto, you could upload pictures to a website and send out an email and people could share your photos. Now there are programs like Flickr and Bubble Share that allow you to put pictures on and people can subscribe to them so that each time you update your pictures on your machine, the people that subscribe to you can get an automatic update that your pictures are updated. It's pretty amazing technology to me.
That is great.
That is. That's pretty cool.
So there's a place for them to comment back to you about your photos, and that's the Web 2.0 aspect.
Exactly. And so this interactive web is just, to me, is just fascinating in terms of, you know, the kids understand really how this interactive web works. So for teachers, we have to look at it as a way of streamlining information to come to us, I think, and be able to organize ourselves so that so that we can get curriculum material easily. It's all out there. It's just how do you find it?
Right.
I think is the piece that I'm trying to drive home, I guess.
And so your teachers liked the message.
They were so excited. I took them through a series of blogs. I used Room 208 and Bit by Bit. I showed them Kathy Schrock's blog and just talked about what kind of experience blogging is. And then we took a look at RSS feeds, and that being, if you don't know what an RSS feed is, it's called really simple syndication. And you may have seen the orange, what they call chiclets, I guess, on a web page. And it allows you to get to subscribe to a website and have information to come to you. So, for example, if you want to read the science articles at the BBC, by subscribing to the BBC section of the website, you can have all kinds of science articles that are updated come to you. Each time they're updated, you're informed that they're updated. So it's a little easier to manage than having them come through your email, if that makes sense.
That's an excellent description.
I was just going to say that. That is great.
So anyway, they were extremely excited because I think they see the potential of this, and it's something that they'll be able to use.
And Bob, what have you been doing?
I guess the thing that I'm most excited about right now is that with the podcasting, I now have Cheryl's aware of this, but Alice, I have a student who I had last year. He's in the fifth grade now, and he's coming back every day after he gets out at 2 o'clock to work with my students. And I have about three kids already who have come back to volunteer. But he's coming every day, and he's doing the recording, and he's doing a lot of the editing now. So I'm getting my life back.
It's really that's great.
And, you know, he's loving it. And the kids are also, the other kids in the room have really asked to be part of the editing process too. So, you know, I can't really give up that time from our academic time, but they're coming in once a week for lunch and learning how to do that and doing some of that. So that's pretty cool. You know, they're recording now and I'm off in another part of the room working with other writers. So that, yeah, that's my big thing. Just more manpower.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Okay, so we were going to talk a little bit about Groundhog Day. What happens on Groundhog Day? On today, the MLTI Gopher laptop showed itself, and it sees its shadow. What happens? The contract is extended for another 4 years. Is that how
that's
it works?
Right? Four more years.
Four more years. That's what the groundhog says. And in Maine, it's especially monumental for us.
So the MLTI stands for Maine Learning Technology Initiative, and this is the one-to-one computing that Seed went out and helped train, and Apple was the laptop that was contracted. And that Angus King had put into place, and it's coming to a close at a time when many other states are about to embrace it. And we're wondering if it's going to be renewed or what will happen. So I'll let you guys take it away because you know more than I do about it.
I think it's it's really interesting that we're looking at the possibility of the end of a four-year, in my opinion, very successful project. And as Bob said, when other states are beginning to embrace this idea, because the big idea here is that technology is not going away. We can't ignore technology in our future.
Right. And I think, especially reading the articles about the digital immigrants and digital natives, with Mark Prinsky, and listening to what other states and other countries are trying to do, with this four-year momentum that we have to pull the rug out from under the teachers and the kids and the state, we can't afford what our future could possibly look like if these students don't have technology in their hands anymore. And one of the big things about the Maine Learning Technology Initiative and, you know, the vision that Angus King had was that it was statewide, that if kids were in Fort Kent, they would have the same opportunity as kids in Yarmouth, Maine. And Alice, I know that your school district, as well as Wells School District, went through and purchased for the 9th and 10th graders. So our students have had 4 years with their laptops. And I think it's great and exciting that Yarmouth is going to put laptops in their budget for their 11th and 12th graders next year. Right, Alice?
Well, it's been proposed and it's looking very good, yes.
And I think that's where we, you know, we start to get the digital divide. That's, you know, will be even worse than, you know, what we already have today. But Angus King's vision was to make it statewide, to make everybody equal. And I think if it goes away, if the this whole contract with a, you know, computer company goes away from our school system, then we are going to see that digital divide and we're going to see the haves and the have-nots surface again.
You're so right, Cheryl. The job of our schools is preparing kids for the future, as I said before, and it's more and more apparent that students must have technology skills, whether they go to college, whether they get a job in the workplace. It's rare now that there's a job out there that doesn't have some form of technology in it. Mm-hmm. It can be anything. I mean, there's, you know, look at your house, look at what you do. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if you take the car into a computer and the computer does all the checks for the car to diagnose it, and then, you know, the automotive technicians actually work on it, but just think how much time they've saved by plugging it into the computer to make that initial diagnosis.
Exactly. And Angus, one of Angus King's points when he started out the whole proposing the whole MLTI project really was talking about how the 21st century really is. There are jobs that are going to go away, and many of those jobs are because of other outside effects, such as the fishing industry. It's very possible that that's going to look very differently in the next few years. When mm-hmm. you look at what's happening in the ecosystem, when you look at, you know, what's happening with world competition. So by extending the MLTI project, we're giving kids a leg up in the world. I truly believe that.
There is a blog entry. I don't know if you've seen this yet, Alice. I know, Cheryl, you have. Mm-hmm. David Warlick is now writing over at Tech Learning, has a blog.
Oh, yes.
A lot of people are over there now, Wes Fryer and some other folk. And he wrote a blog entry called A Letter from the Principal. And basically it's saying, you know, it's his principal writing, apologizing that we haven't gotten our kids ready for the future. And talking about all the great stuff that's happening, like your student is, you know, reading, you know, learning reading, and it's one of the top scores in the state and all this. But we're not, you know, we're not getting them ready for what they're about to experience. And another thing that he had said in his other blog that makes me think of this right now is he's so sick of people saying, have you seen the $100 laptop? You know, when can we get that? How can we get that? And just talks about, you know, we're such an affluent society. We could put a laptop into every student's hand right now. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we need to start thinking about, not wait till it comes down to $100. So I'll put a link in the show notes for that article, because it should go to every PTSA meeting, and every you know, district meeting should read that letter and then have a conversation after that.
Right. That's good. That's true. The other thing that I just kind of wanted to bring up too is in the paper, the Portland Press Herald on January 29th, there's an article about how we're going to consolidate school districts and how that proposal is out there. And I guess what I'm thinking is, you know, if you look at, for example, York County might be consolidated into 4 school districts.
Wow.
York County is huge.
Yes.
And that's only one small part of Maine. But, you know, I guess down the pike, wouldn't laptops be a great way to help with some of this consolidation? And I'm really thinking off the cuff here, but, you know, wouldn't it be great if there were ways to have community centers and smaller places for kids to get together instead of having to get on the bus and travel long distances? And could they do any of their learning through the laptop project rather than having to ride 3 hours to get to school? That's, I guess, a big concern of mine, is what's going to happen to the kids in this consolidation piece, and how could we use laptops to, you know, really enhance that whole project.
And I don't think we've tapped that nearly enough. You know, collaborative online learning and virtual high schools, you know, they're all popping up more and more, and I don't think that was part of the conversation. I think, you know, people in their own school districts are really trying to use the technology and get their teachers up to speed and get their students working with the technology, that they got isolated with it and didn't really expand the walls and break down the walls and start using the technology to build virtual classrooms, at least to my knowledge. I don't know of any that happened.
Right. Well, and I mean, it makes sense here. I found the piece. It's the proposal that's sort of out there. Of course, this isn't anything official or anything, but 286 districts to 35 districts.
Wow.
And that's an amazing change, and wow. I understand the proposal. I understand needing to cut administrative costs, but in the end, it's the kids. And how are we going to best serve the needs of our kids? That, coupled with the way that kids learn now, mm-hmm. seems to me that we need to extend this laptop program. Because, again, as I said a minute ago, the kids, it's really about the kids and their learning.
And if you listen to Mark Prinsky's speech, Enrage Me or Engage Me, and Bob, I think that's on Bit by Bit, right?
Yes.
Engage Me or Enrage Me. I think I said it backwards. But if you listen to that, and the kids, you know, the thing that struck me the most was the comment that kids made that they power down before they go to school.
Right.
Well, if we take their laptops away, they are really powered down.
Exactly.
So what do we do at this point to, when is the final decision going to be made? When
proposals, the bids have to be in by February 22nd. And then I don't know how long it will take them to look at it.
And will they look at it is the big piece.
Right. Well, the two parts are, Susan Gendron said that they've put the RFP out there, and either somebody will come forward and answer the RFP, and if that doesn't happen, then they'll extend the current contract for one more year.
Oh.
So regardless.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, regardless. That's what she said back in December.
Oh, okay, because it's not written in the RFP. Interesting.
So no.
When you say putting the bids out, does that mean they might switch from Apple to a PC?
Whoever comes in.
That would be interesting.
Yes.
You know, now that how would we do that? We've bought so much to connect to Apple.
Yep.
It would be starting all over again, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that if Apple presents it as a piece of, you know, this has got to be, you know, we've already put the money in the software and the training, they might come out okay.
Yep. That's anyway. True. In December, Sue Gendron, who's our state commissioner, you know, I think she really held the gauntlet up and said that there is going to be a new RFP for the MLTI project. And I just read online that the bids are open until February 22nd for that. So then it will mean, you know, a group sits down and looks at the bids that have been presented. And part of her statement was, if they don't get an adequate bid, then they will extend Apple's contract for one more year and keep the laptops in the schools. Now, that doesn't address anything about maintenance, what will happen to that, you know, the contract that everybody has now to take care of the computers. But those are all questions that will be answered sometime soon.
Okay, well, happy Groundhog Laptop Day.
Yes.
And we'll just hope that that little sucker sees his shadow.
Absolutely.
I think in Maine he will see his shadow.
This was great. We're going to wrap it up now because you can hear that Cheryl's hard drive is working.
Yes.
It's a little butt off there with Skype. That's what that whirring sound is in the back. And next time we do a show, hopefully we'll have all the other seedlings. How many are there of us?
Oh, there are about 12, I think.
12, yeah.
So I haven't tried a Skype call more than, this is my first conference call, but I think the Mac Skype can handle more than five people. I know PC is limited to five, but so we'll see how that works out. Or go back to iChat with the new GarageBand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, you've been listening to Seedlings at Bit by Bit, And we will try to get a show up in, what, about a month we're going to shoot for?
I would think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Bob Sprankle and...
Cheryl Oakes and Alice Farr.
Saying goodbye and thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Today's music came from the PodSafe Music Network. Check them out at music.podshow.com.